Writing can be a lifeline for those in prison. Whether it be poems, fiction, personal stories, or essays, the expression is often therapeutic. The creative writing program at Matsqui Federal Prison is one initiative that encourages this self-expression. Every Friday morning, outside volunteers drive out to the prison in Abbotsford to work with the men inside to encourage their writing. Writer Andrea Winterbottom has been volunteering with the program for the past year. Andrea recently published an anthology of writing from both the prisoners and some outside writers who are connected to the program at Matsqui. The compilation is called Penned In, a collection of literary creations from both sides of the fence. Andrea joins us in the studio this evening to tell us more about this collection of stories and the writing program at Matsqui. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
Well, thank you for having me, Emily and Cindy. It's really great to be here.
And I notice you're wearing a fabulous Prison Justice Day t-shirt. Can you tell us where you got that?
Yes, the group, my friends at Matsqui, have pooled together, and it was Greg, one of the inmates, friends of mine, who have given that to me as a gift and to bring me good luck tonight when I'm on your show.
Excellent. Well, I just had to share that with people because, of course, this is radio. You can't see what she's wearing, but it's a lovely t-shirt. So you've been involved with the creative writing program at Matsqui for the past year or so. How did you get involved with the program?
I met Ed Griffin, who is the teacher for the creative writing group at Matsqui, and he has been teaching in prisons in the United States and then also since about almost 20 years at Matsqui. And he used to be a Catholic priest, and then he became a writer, and he has published a book, Dystopia, with a fellow who used to be an inmate, and he is now living outside, and he's a friend of Ed's, and Ed faithfully goes to Matsqui Institution every Friday morning from 9 till 11, and Greg is one of the people inside who has started to get a group together to join in and become participants in this creative writing group. And also the Matsqui, the institution's the warden has recognized the creative writing as a program where the participants are given points to that they've accomplished, like they have to accomplish various programs while they're institutionalized. And so the creative writing counts as a fully fledged program.
So what inspired you specifically to get involved with that? What prompted you?
Because I have heard from Ed that the intensity of the writing is very good about it, and that you get a lot of writing done when you're in a group, and especially not just on a Friday morning, but also what we call the writer's retreats, where we go into Matsqui for the whole day on a Saturday, and we don't stay overnight, but for the whole day Sunday, and that's a group of outside writers. And we obviously have to, you know, be signed up and have to have criminal records checks and everything else done in order to be allowed to go inside. And then there are special rooms assigned to us where we can be and form smaller groups and then get involved into doing various writing assignments. And we give each other writing prompts, and then we just get to it and write and critique each other's writing.
So it's a chance for you to also get in there and write yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it's amazing how I get inspired when, just for instance, a couple weeks ago we were there, and one of our focus was like in lots of writings, show, don't tell. And slow down. Greg was saying, slow down as you write. So what he did, he asked us all to, for the next 5 minutes, to write with our left hand, to really give yourself a chance to slow down your thinking and concentrate on what you wanted to write. And it worked. And the group I was in, we produced some really good prose and poems. Yeah,
it's hard when we're all rushing around.
Oh, absolutely.
In this world, to slow down. Should think about that with the left hand. So what other things can somebody expect if they show up there? What other kind of things happen on a Friday morning?
Well, from the people who live at Matsqui, they need to sign up to participate in the program. And if you are an outsider interested to come, you would have to go onto the Corrections Canada website, and you can fill out a volunteer application, and then you have to be screened, and it usually takes at least 2 to 3 months till your application is approved. And in my case, I'm also a volunteer, official volunteer for Corrections Services Canada. So Ed and other people who have started a book club at another institution, we all had received training on, you know, how to basically behave when you're inside, or even because from before you even get inside. Mm-hmm. And the general rule they tell you is nothing in, nothing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little bureaucracy to go through if you're coming from the outside. And so you share writing with each other, you do exercises, is there instruction also? What other kinds of activities do you do to encourage each other to write?
Yes, Ed, when he goes on Fridays, he gives homework to everybody. So they might have
homework.
Something like, when I was 5 years old, I liked to play with. So that is your prompt. And then write a paragraph, write 200 words, or write a whole page, whichever you feel comfortable with, and then come and read it to the group the following week. And that's what we do normally.
And so you probably learn a lot from each other.
Oh yes, we do. We do. And also, we're very encouraging to each other. And if you would take the room away from the concrete and the wire and the steel, and you put that room somewhere else, you would not know that there are inmates, because we are so nurturing to each other, and we'll joke and we, you know, compliment each other. And if there's a great line or a great paragraph, and we give each other such positive feedback. And all my friends at Matsqui, they're very nurturing. Yeah.
And well, it must be a nice sort of break or reprieve, kind of from the intensity of the prison for the prisoners too.
I think too it helps some of them to focus on their creativity, because if you're inside, your creativity is absolutely thwarted. There's no bright colors, there is no art as such on the walls. And well, no, that's not true. There's one little mural with a bear and things on the inside of the wall where we are sometimes. I don't mean to undermine that. But
yes, but still a very tight atmosphere.
Oh, yes, everything is very regimented and sometimes...
Controlled.
No, controlled, yes. And the looks we sometimes do get from some of the people who let us in. Or... just to give you an example, the retreat that was recently held, the whole room was freezing. It was just absolutely like I was at an ice rink. And so one of my friends asked me, he said, well, there, I have my jacket. And he gave me his jacket to wear for a while. And within 5 minutes, Ed came up to me and said, you have to take that jacket off. You can't wear that jacket.
Right.
And because one of the guards had seen, or somebody, one of the guards who came by had seen that I'm wearing an inmate's jacket, and that's absolutely against policy. And I didn't know.
Yes, there are a lot of rules in prison.
Absolutely, yes.
It's a very controlling environment. And that's kind of the opposite of creativity in a way. Creativity is a freeing, kind of flowing, kind of liberating sort of experience.
Yeah, so it is, yeah. So if you like, I'll read you some of the...
Yes, and you've published a bunch of these into this collection this past year called Penned In, mm-hmm. a collection of literary creations from both sides of the fence. And a number of the people involved, both on the inside and outside, with this creative writing program at Matsqui. You've published their writing in this fabulous little book. So you're going to read a couple pieces for us. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us the first piece you're going to read to
us? Yes, I would like to read to you Hoya, which was written by Kenny. And I know earlier we agreed that we'll just give you first names. So, and I'll read Hoya by Kenny. Gentle as a Hoya in bloom, all-embracing fragrance, wondrous in its powerful presence. Tears of life and love glisten in its assurance of home, flowering star, emblem of a mother's love. So, I know Kenny still has a good relationship with his mom. He is one of the lucky people inside who still has a connection to his relations.
A lot of people have, difficult or it's hard to maintain contact. Especially when people are in there for a long time. And family and friend contact, I know, is very important.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's, and sometimes if there is a lockdown, then all the family visits are canceled and nobody can get in, and then you worry no mail can come out in or out. So it can be quite worrisome.
And you're going to share with us another poem?
Yeah, I'll read you one that sort of tells you about feelings from the inside, and it's by Kelly. And Kelly, who likes to sometimes write about genealogy, and his poem is titled Loneliness. Blank talks, wasted walks, finding nothing to please. An empty soul, such lifeless toll, finding nothing I need. Some far off fame I must proclaim, finding nothing to be. Weary nights, endless fights, finding nothing for me.
Well, I like the rhyming in that one.
Yeah, I do too.
Nice timing.
It is, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and so why did you decide to publish some of these into a book, some of these writings?
Because whenever we go on a writer's retreat for a Saturday and Sunday, where I should mention too, where the outsiders are treated to the fabulous cuisine from inside. Sorry. And during that, before we meet, we publish, just for the people who participate, a small anthology with people's poems or stories in it that we then use, and we read it beforehand, and then we use that as a to catapult us into critiquing each other's work. And I thought, well, only our small group sees that, and it should be good to have the outside world read about those men as well and their feelings. And that's why I decided we'll put it together. And they were all very joyous about it and very supportive that they basically let me run with the production of the book, which is great. Thank you so much.
and what were some of their responses when you brought the book in for them to see?
Oh, they were just overwhelmed. It was great, because on the day when I came with the newly, it's a nice orange color, a lovely cover as well. And I handed it to all the participants who were there, and I said, congratulations on being a published author. And I could tell that they were very proud. Like, I am proud of the accomplishments for them, and too, I feel proud to be sharing the pages with some of their powerful writing.
And tell us a little bit more about the range of pieces you can find in the book. I know you read a couple poems, but other kind of pieces are in there?
Well, there are some pieces who will tell you a little bit more about the deeper feelings that people have about themselves, that they feel very gloomy about the way they are perhaps treated, or about their circumstances and their surroundings. And then there are some who go inside themselves and they're trying to reflect on, perhaps looking into making the best from where they're at and looking into a brighter future. And that's what they're sort of counting on, in a way.
And why did you decide to publish both prisoners and non-prisoner writings together? Why was that important to you?
It was important because to me, it just that we are all writers, and it shouldn't matter that we are on the inside or the outside. It doesn't matter where you come from, but your word can be as powerful on the page, no matter where it was created.
And you yourself have a couple pieces in the book. And
I do,
Can you read one of those for us?
Yes, I'll read the one that I wrote for my friends at Matsqui, and it's called From the Galaxy to the Guys at Matsqui. To be with you, I would conquer my fear of heights and walk on a tightrope across a canyon. I would take my chances of getting a speeding ticket and push on the gas pedal just a bit more so I can be with you on time. I would smile curiously at the officer at the front gate and say, "Yes, officer," so he'll allow me access beyond the fence right at the start of class. Considering that you might have to endure a strip search and other unmentionable indignities to meet with me, I am going to change the would into will. I will balance on the tightrope, I will hit the road a bit earlier, and I will grin like a clown at a birthday party at the officer at the front gate so I can be with you. I am not allowed to bring any objects for you, but nobody can stop me from bringing my enthusiasm, energy, and kindness to you. And all of them at the front gate are blind to the gifts that I am carrying out with me when I leave. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your kindness and respect that I treasure in a special alcove in my heart. A waterfall of gratitude washes over me as I close my eyes and think about the stories that you share with me. A melody on the radio, a cloud formation in the sky, the smell of a rusty chain fence reminds me how you brighten up my universe. Can you see the moonbeams and shooting stars that I wish for you?
That's really nice.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it speaks to the importance of those connections between the outside and the inside, which, you know, by your sort of writing and your stories, they don't make it necessarily easy, but it's really important, those connections, not only for those on the inside, but as you described there, for your own self to make those connections and learn.
That is right, what we mentioned earlier. I actually feel myself that I have grown as a writer since I have started to go to Matsqui. And I really thank all my friends at Matsqui about that.
Excellent. And what kind of responses have you had to the book? You talked a little bit about when you took it inside. Has there been response from other prisoners who aren't in the book or from the community?
Yes. There's one of the fellows who is published here. His name is Stephen Meyer, and he lived in Matsqui for about a year. And he now lives in a halfway house in Surrey. And he's going to school to Vancouver Community College, and he is aiming to become a drug and alcohol counselor. And I would like to read one of his poems as well. And he was very supportive because after the book was first published, we had a table at the Surrey International Writers Conference. And that's where I made some contacts, and Stephen was there for both days, 3 days actually, to help me sell the book, and we sold some, and then he took a whole stack with him to sell to people he knows at the Phoenix Center and at other places. And so he has been quite a big support in helping me to sell the book. And also Black Bond Books in Lynn Valley, in Mission, and in Surrey, they took 12 copies, so which is very kind. And I, in the beginning, I went in there every day asking how many copies they have sold. But by now, I know a couple of friends of mine have gone there to buy the book there. So
it's getting out there.
Yes, it is, yes.
And you mentioned you wanted to read a piece by Stephen?
Yes, and Stephen's piece is called I Am by Stephen Meyer. I am ego in greed, I am desire in want, I am not what you need, I am spirit in haunt, I am the high in low, I am freedom in prison, I am release in let go, I am here in listen. I'm the shine in sun. I am light in your day. I am excitement in fun. I am silence in prey. I am hunger in feed. I am belief in faith. I am religion in creed. I am destiny in fate. I am anxiety in fear. I am shame in abuse. I am all you hold dear. I am the lie in excuse. I am victory in lose. I am the loss in win. I am choice in choose. I am the guilt in sin. I am you. You are me. We are all what we should be.
Well, that's... It really encompasses it all in a way.
It does, yeah. Stephen put a lot of thoughts in there and gives you lots to think about, too, when you read it.
And you mentioned earlier you were mentioning that you also are trying to start and keep an ongoing support group for people when they get outside to keep that kind of connection and that commitment to the writing going on.
Oh, that's right, yes. And... we sort of unofficially call ourselves Scribble Pals. And there is Alex Leslie and Ray Sue. And Ray is a professor at UBC in the creative writing department. And he has published a few books on poetry. And Alex, she has published a few stories too. And I think she has a book coming out next year. And we started to meet once a month, and Stephen and there's another fellow, Dave, and what we do, we just write and bring pieces and then encourage each other, critique them, and now we just meet whenever we have time, and we email each other, and we meet at a coffee shop, which is sort of locally, centrally located for all of us.
I think it's important when you have those very solitary kind of crafts. Well, I find that you need some kind of external motivator and feedback.
Oh, you definitely do. You need to be stimulated. You can't just rely on your own brain to do everything for you.
Mm-hmm. So that interaction's really important. What kind of things do you hear from prisoners as to why writing is important to them?
I think it helps them to keep bits and pieces of their sanity and to... establish a good relationship perhaps with themselves and to see that they can put that on paper if they are unhappy about something, if they're happy, and to nurture their own inner feelings about their surroundings and about their perhaps inner turmoil.
A little bit of a release.
To a lot of them that's what they feel, and that they just by writing their thoughts down, and then sharing it with the group, they feel that their voices, even if it's just in a small room, being heard. And that's why I'm so thrilled about Penned In, that hopefully it's out there and people can see about it and read it.
And probably helps them deal not with only with things in their life, but trying to deal with the prison, living in prison, which is... That need to have that release.
That's right, yeah.
So yeah. You have another piece there you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I'll share with you. It's by Enrique, and it's called Prison. And it goes like this. There are places where all of the murderers, assailants, thieves, and drug lords are placed. These places are warehouses thought to be created to serve one purpose, rehabilitation. Despite what officials or the public may think, it does not serve the purpose of rehabilitation. People who do not want to be changed are not going to change. People who are forced to do activities will only engage in activities for fear of further punishment. Then there are those who do not fear anything or portray themselves as so. These people will not succumb to the will of anyone. People who have made a mistake are either corrupted, or if they have the will strong enough to change amidst of all the corruption, they will be fortunate to do so. The corruption is so deep that there are officials who behave in the same way of the convicted, except instead of using physical force or indirectly hurt someone, they use violence or coercion. Negative vibes passed on from the officials with a problem, passing their negativity onto those who they have the power over. Those people who receive the negativity probably have no power over anyone, so pass their negativity in a manner known to them. In a way, these officials indirectly hurt someone, whether it is the family of the convict or the person to whom the convict expresses their frustration to, even to as small as causing emotional frustration in the environment of the convict. These places are cesspools created for breeding violence and negativity, like a vicious circle which only contributes to the outer world. The day comes when a hungry tiger is fed, and it isn't pretty. There are days when the convicts have their hunger sated. With freedom, they are not prepared for the world for which they left. In an ever-changing world, how could they be? After years of being removed from the world. Inside their minds, it isn't pretty for them, the massive adjustments they need to make, the emotional roller coaster they must withstand of adjusting to such drastic changes. Not all have the willpower or help they need to change or even want to change, forced to take the help they need. If only it was offered, how many would be willing to change? And even then, they are put aside to force people of higher priority to be helped. If humans are balancing out other humans deemed to be of higher priority, then how can these people, being balanced, know what to balance within themselves? These places do nothing. If only people were understood more, there would be more solutions offered. If only, from an early age, children were understood better, the world would be a better place, and there would be no need for these places of evil.
Well, that's a really candid perspective on the prison system there.
It is, yeah. But it came from a feeling from deep inside. And if you're a person and it's you're put in there, no disregarding for whatever you did to get you there, it's still shocking to be surrounded by all this fear, basically. It creates fear, so it in some ways must alter your whole being.
We're just about out of time. I know you had one more piece. I don't know how long that one is, if you can maybe sneak that in there.
All right, I'll see that I repeat 36. Greg, who reads under I Am Grenada, The Big Yard Botanical. Today I went walking in the big yard of the penitentiary. So few souls today. The big yard is boring, they say. More boring than lying in your cell, staring at decaying pornography stuck to the ceiling with generic toothpaste, narrating plot lines to daydreams, not yours. In the big yard of the penitentiary, the bushes run the show. Over and under the fences they go. Not me. 9 years, 4 months, and 17 days I've marched in a loop. In the penitentiary, the shortest distance between two points is a circle. For counting laps, you can count on me. Today I tear up the script. Today belongs to the big yard bushes. Viva la revolution. The big yard bushes are the only rebels in the place, no geometry for them. Up by the tennis court is where the lifers hang out. Azalea Laurel Hardhack, a real murderer's row. Sloshed on descent, their multicolored medium is the message. Dumb insolence. Make sure the warden gets the memo, copper. What will they do? Throw the big yard bushes in the hole and give only water? The big yard bushes are pen plants. They laugh at pests. Wow. What's a girl like you doing in a place like this? A pink-white tango dress swirling around. The sharpest stiletto heels you'll ever see. I couldn't look away. Ugly Astor laughed. Don't let looks fool you, she called. That little Rosie is just a Joey. A dance with her will put you in the poorhouse, and the only bush you'll get there is on CNN. I kept strolling. Till I stood in razor wire lockdown with the bush that cannot die. A blackberry, choke cherry, cross, great arms sleeved in thorns. He's been pickaxed, chainsawed, rototilled, blowtorched, strip mined, anthraxed, and napalmed, existing solely on convict urine and sewer rat excrement. He sucks up hate and gives only sweetness in return. Do they know that the bush they can't kill makes a killer jam without rival? Who ever heard of such a thing? If you should ever find yourself in the big yard of the penitentiary, don't waste your time lining up circles. Go visit the big yard bushes. Their stories are the only ones that are real.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. We'll leave the last word with Greg there.
Yeah, Greg is great. And Greg has his own website, www.theincarceratedinkwell.org.
Incarceratedinkwell.org. Well, thanks so much for coming in and sharing with us. I know there's more pieces in there, but people will just have to buy the book if they want to hear more.
And so they can also send me an email at lilopeter1957. At yahoo.ca.
Right, to get their hands on the book. Yeah.
And I really thank you, Cindy and Emily, for having me here. And I'd like to say a special hello to my friend Gary, who is moved from Matsqui to Ferndale. And I also like to say a special hello to all my friends at Matsqui.
Some may be listening right now.
Yes, I hope so. Hello. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming down and sharing with us and all your work putting that together. We have been speaking with writer Andrea Winterbottom. She's a volunteer with the Creative Writing Program at Matsqui Prison in Abbotsford, and she recently published an anthology. It's called Penned In, a collection of literary creations from both sides of the fence, and that comes out of writings from the Creative Writing Program at Matsqui, and it's published by Jupiter Literary Press, and it's available at the independent bookstore Black Bond Books. You can find them online at blackbondbooks.com. You can also contact Andrea if you're interested in a copy of the book or want to know more information about the Creative Writing Program. You can contact her at Lilopeter, Lilopeter, 1957 at yahoo.ca.